This is tape number 3 on June the 13th, 1992. We're back on the air, Commander.
Well, I want to finish this. I was asked a question about the way you feel in the morning. And it's an important answer. It is not that you have physically worked, but the longer that you are departed from the body, and that's the way you work. I have to cover two subjects here. When you are, quote, mentally working, the body is left. And quite frankly, without that stimulus, it will not move. And so what is happening is in that still state of no activity, everything is stiff. It's like you would have been forced to lie without being able to move. So you have to come back into the body, and then it has to begin to function again. Now, subject number 2. A lot of our work is now being done in the physical state, back and forth transition. That means a disintegration into light, a reassembling. And very frequently there is panic involved, because as the body begins to disperse, mind says, I have to breathe. Intelligence says, I don't need to. But there is an immediate response as the breath is no longer needed and the lungs are not there to fill. This is the problem with any kind of an evacuation. Sometimes you will be feeling the response of that. You'll get a lot of noise and a lot of blipping and closure in the ears. A lot of pressure. And it seems to focus more in the ears. And it's because you have the ear system, the audio system that you have of these loops. And you can literally come up with case of the bends. We can control pretty much the bubbles, if you will, in the blood supply because of the dispersion and reassembling. So if you're going to get an air pocket is going to be at the top of those tubules. And I had Dorma with almost a year of inability to hear a good portion of the time, and dizziness, and usually your guide will explain that to you. You will at some level know that that's what it is. You're welcome. Now, yes.
On this dream work, if we have problems recalling all the dream upon awakening, is there anything we can do to improve that memory?
Depends on what you're doing. If you are dreaming, yes, you can do dream work. But what we're talking about is not dream work.
You
are not dreaming. You are working. And these will be blotted from your mind. Sometimes you will be allowed to remember, and that will be for a very specific reason and a good lesson, and those are exceptions. What you are talking about is dream work, where you are sorting data. And yes, you can train yourself to remember, and then you can work with those dreams because they do mean something, but they only mean something to you. Don't consider that some guru is going to come and sort your dreams. That is not true. And if you once did have more time to play, that is a fun game to play, is let's see what my dream meant.
No, that's not what I was getting at. How do we tell the difference between the dream work and what you said, the other type, which is not dream work?
Well, I can't answer
oh,
it.
Okay.
It's as individual as anything else and, that you do.
And also, there's another phenomenon going on that is not quite a dream, but is similar to a dream, where you're not asleep, but there's an expanded consciousness. Can you explain that to me?
Well, that's touching a little more onto reality. It's sort of the change between the two dimensions. And very frequently in that, you will have vision perceptions.
Yeah.
And yet sometimes they're harder to figure out than the simple dreams. There are no shortcuts. There are some physical ways of handling it and gaining great, great insight. But you're talking about three levels of consciousness. Yes.
I'd like to know, quite a few years ago, we were just talking about ascending. Okay, I used to wake up in the middle of the night, my breath gone completely, and it used to scare me, and I used to run. Is that because I was just learning at that time to ascend
well,
at night?
Yes.
My breath
there are two things that happen.
Gone.
What you don't perceive is that you get it on both sides. When you come back and when you depart. And it isn't even necessarily ascending, although I think that that's what your gurus would tell you. When one say, well, we're going to practice ascending, I think that's what they mean. But you are actually dispersing, and I guess that is really the true definition of ascension. But you don't necessarily ascend anywhere. You can descend too. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about the physical expression of disbursement of molecules and reassembly. And in the middle of that, you're going to end up as photons. And this is why you will have apparitions or the feeling that you are visualizing a lighted vapor. This is what happens when people are seeing ghosts. You're seeing nothing but reflected photons in various and sundry stages of manifestation or density.
Okay, I'd like to have another question, personal again. Okay, several weeks ago, I had a dream about my husband. He made it walking through a wall. Two nights later, I told him, I did it too. Was that part of it? That my...
Well, once again, I can't... This is a very personal thing. And obviously in your consciousness, you know that didn't happen. Not in your consciousness. David Copperfield can walk through a wall. You could not get up right now and walk over there and go through that wall. Do you know the difference in what I'm saying? So already you were in a different consciousness. So whatever happened, happened in a dimension other than your consciousness. And once you have separated from the consciousness, you're already in that dimension, and of course you can do it. This is the only thing that makes a magician a true magician. He's not fooling you anymore. He can literally do it. And most of David Copperfield's games and tricks are tricks and games. On the other hand, he has learned from the master teachers and knows what he can do and how to do it, so that he can cause a separation of whatever cellular structure is there, so that whatever he wants to push through himself can be done, as if he were not there. Or he can disperse among the separated molecules, because all things are made up of the same things in different density and different catalytic manifestation. So if you, what you were saying is you became aware and you were focused enough to retain that memory of doing it. You do it all the time. All you have done, all you have just said to me, is that you somehow remembered fragments of it. Because your mind does it all the time. You spend more time in astral travel and astral experience than you do in consciousness. A little child and a baby spend almost all their time. They live in this other world. And they don't concern too much about what the body does or doesn't do. A baby will just depend on you to take care of it, because it's annoyed, really, to be, you know, to have to put up with it. You learn as you grow older in your consciousness to tolerate it, and then even to like it, and then not to want to leave it. But you spend most of your time out of it so that you don't have to face it. This is a form of escapism, just as sleep can get to be nothing but a form of escapism. So ones who have to meditate 8 hours a day do not impress me. That is solely, totally, 100% cop-out. You can acquire as much in 2 minutes of true meditation as you can sitting there on your assets for 8 hours saying little mantras, ohms, and so forth. You're not trying, really, you know, well, you've got to get this mantra and empty your brain. You're not ever going to empty your brain, and the more you think about emptying it, the fuller it's going to get of that one thought. So very frequently, I hear your idea about go try to meditate and you're going to go to sleep. Not necessarily. It depends on how hard you try to meditate. There is that release that allows the freedom. And it's really a gift when you've learned to be able to do that. With Dorma, you know, ones think, well, that's what happens with her. It's, no, that's not true. That's not exactly what happens. We can pull that off too. But basically what I do is tune in the radio channel, and we each have a speaker and a receiver. But you're learning, and treasure these memories, because, and this is something that very frequently you'll find in the morning you do remember as you first wake up, and you think, oh, I won't forget this. And 3 minutes later, it's gone. Well, this is something else that you allow yourself, and that is when things are really hard, really tight, or you're really excited and something has happened and you want to hold on to it for a while, that's allowed. Just let you hold on to it for a little while. And then in the knowing that you knew, you're able to release it and wait. You know, go ahead and experience whatever needs to be done. That's something that's very frequently given to ones like Dorma. I would expect that Desiree gets that quite a lot, where you realize that you have confronted it and you're allowed to remember that you knew for a little while, and then always the voice that says soon, you know, we're doing fine, and soon it will be okay to know it again.
Commander?
Yes.
I know you've been bombarded with this question, but I feel I have to ask it. I've spread the Phoenix Liberator to about 500 people regarding the initial information that I got on the photon belt. And as we get closer to it, is there any indication as to whether the Earth or the Sun will reach it first? And B, a follow-up question about the electric shock that people will receive, referring to the separation, without the separation from death. Could you perhaps shed some light on that as we get closer and closer to the outer edge? Or is any of that ascertainable? And again, I apologize. I know you get probably
well,
a little tired of this.
I don't know. I'm not tired of it. And it's just that it is such a subject that it is so dangerous. It's so dangerous for you once to sit in this room and talk about it. It is the most massive cover-up ever perpetrated so far on your place, because these are the cycles that come along periodically, and this one they know will bring more impact than usual. But the photon belt itself is not the problem. It's what comes later afterwards with the cataclysmic events. And my thrust has been to taper off on this photon belt. I'm not going to tell you whether I perceive which is going to happen, light or dark. I want you prepared. And it won't matter a whit if you're halfway prepared. They will be able to pull off some things that will allow it to be different than even projected. You see, you're going to learn a little bit about time and space and fourth dimension. You're going to move into a lighter frequency, and that very knowledge can make a tremendous difference. Ones ask, well, what about spacecraft? Won't you be without electricity? Yeah, but it's no problem, because I can be on the other side of that photon null time with a thought. You now have spacecraft that can literally move away from that photon belt, wait until Earth basically has revolved into it, and then you can shoot through that photon null time in 30 seconds. You're coming up to dealing with time. And how long it takes to get from one place to another. And when that can be done through thought projection, and you're going to be astounded, an awful lot of you are going to be able to do that. And you're not going to be able to perceive that there was a difference. And now we're going to get on the other side, and here I've already talked about something I didn't want to talk about. You're going to get on the other side saying nothing happened. The lights went out in Philadelphia, but shoot, didn't happen to me. Well, it depends on how willing you are to pick up your responsibility and the power that you do have. I think most of you want to experience that. I think most of you want the primitive feeling of being able to remember how it was by candlelight. The mind will go to great lengths to get a little peace, a little rest. Then there will be the other side that will push the river, hoping to make a transition, frankly, rather than stay around and face the responsibilities. So I'm going to fly that day and defy God. Well, I personally wouldn't do it. Not for that reason. Because it's not going to have anything to do with God. Although, depends on your relationship with God and why you're doing it. If there is something that is really necessary to be done and you really need for God to fly, then I'm pretty sure he'll get you there just fine. But the point is that you have brains, and as you get closer, you're going to be able to pick up the clues from what the scientists are telling you. You're moving into a time of a lot of actions, a lot of interactions. You've got a president that is in total trouble, and he still acts like he has no trouble. That's because he doesn't have any trouble. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I can only really suggest that probably the less I say about it, the less misery you're going to have. Because the minute that the higher energies start making these statements to you, then they really go into great efforts to make sure that it's not that way. And that, in this instance, can only work against you. I have to back up and just say, as one last word about that, make sure you know why you need to know.
Hatun, greetings to you. This is Gabriele.
Yes.
I would like to know how vital it is for the translation of the truth of all the books and the latest event for the German, Austrian, and Switzerland people. It is very vital. I know what is involved.
Well, it's vital as soon as it can be done.
Well, I will do my best.
It's certainly appreciated.
One more question. At the last meeting I was attending, did you hit me with a flash while you were here? Because I could not find anybody here with a photo camera, with a flashlight.
Well,
what was this immense light?
I'm not going to tell you my secrets.
Well, but I think I got the message. Thank you. I will do my best despite the political situation in Germany and try to contact as many as I can from better sources. Thank you.
You mean the one I just said I wasn't going to answer anymore?
Commander, I have a question to ask. It is about a white light that I've seen when I was in the comfort room. And even though I do not move, it keeps on going around. And I was thinking to myself, what is this kind of light? It's just a circle, white. And then another time when I was walking, going home, as I looked down to the pavement, I saw a colored light, a blend of light in a circle with different colors of the rainbow. And then I remembered, I talked to it and I said, if you are of the dark, go away. And if you are of the light, manifest to me in a circle. And then when I looked again, it was gone.
Well, but
can you explain about this?
It doesn't necessarily mean that it was a negative light form. It doesn't mean that it was a light form of any kind or a form of any kind. You ones are coming into a higher experience. This is going to be true of the even the masses. As you move, you are already going into this period of light. Do you see? Oh, how in the world can I explain it? There's no way to explain a concept that you can only remember. You are manifested into a vision. You are a thought projection into an experience. You are moving now toward reality. what is happening to you once, please quit saying, I vision this. I vision this light. I vision this hole. I vision these colors. You are seeing reality through the illusion. You talk about ozone holes. That's the best thing that you can get. This allows higher energies to pass through when you clear out this crap that you once have created and put out there. And as you begin to experience, you're going to experience, first of all, short periods of vision. And it will be mostly uninhabited, these flashes like you're talking about. They are your perception growing high enough to see through this vision you're stumbling around in. That's where we're trying to get us all to. And you know it's there. And when you have the blessedness of the physical, just, I saw light. And the consciousness knows you actually saw light. That means that the consciousness is beginning to respond a little bit to the knowledge that you hold, and that is that you are stumbling in disillusion. And when we get to the point where we can live in that environment more than you live in the entrapment of this one, the power itself, you will create the difference. And then you don't have to worry about null time or light time or radiation. And when you're talking about the shock of the body, it won't be. You will just move right into it. But because of the perceptions of the consciousness, you have to be trained.
Commander?
Yes.
You've been speaking about the Nephilim from the planet Nibiru, who came to Earth for gold to help save their dying planet by suspending the gold particles in their atmosphere. I wanted to know if there's something we can learn from that with what we're going through, with what you're mentioning about our ozone layers and our atmosphere. Do you have any more information about suspending gold in the atmosphere?
Well, number one, that can be created later. You see, that we're talking about another planet now that was in trouble. And you are in trouble. But the higher beings can already alchemize what you need. As a matter of fact, for a long time, we were allowed to shore up what you are now calling those ozone holes. We were able to neutralize those you don't neutralize a photon. It's already neutral, but we could affect that. And then it got nearer, and the impact was more detrimental emotionally to you ones, because you've got all the kooks going out there sitting around giving you all these great messages from Commander Ashtar, who says, you know, on the day that the hole opens up, we'll all evacuate you. Everything gets put out of perspective and into unreality.
This is tape number 3 on June the 13th, 1992. We're back on the air, Commander.
Oh, well, I want to finish this. I was asked a question about the way you feel in the morning. And it's an important answer. It is not that you have physically worked, but the longer that you are departed from the body, and that's the way you work, I have to cover two subjects here. When you are, quote, mentally working, the body is left. And quite frankly, without that stimulus, it will not move. And so what is happening is in that still state of no activity, everything is stiff. It's like you would have been forced to lie without being able to move. So you have to come back into the body, and then it has to begin to function again. Now, subject number two. A lot of our work is now being done in the physical state, back and forth transition. That means a disintegration into light, a reassembling. And very frequently there is panic involved, because as the body begins to disperse, mind says, I have to breathe. Intelligence says, I don't need to. But there is an immediate response as the breath is no longer needed and the lungs are not there to fill. This is the problem with any kind of an evacuation. Sometimes you will be feeling the response of that. You'll get a lot of noise and a lot of blipping and closure in the ears. A lot of pressure. And it seems to focus more in the ears. And it's because you have the ear system, the audio system that you have of these loops. And you can literally come up with a case of the bends. We can control pretty much the bubbles, if you will, in the blood supply because of the dispersion and reassembling. So if you're going to get an air pocket is going to be at the top of those tubules. And I had Dorma with almost a year of inability to hear a good portion of the time, and dizziness, and usually your guide will explain that to you. You will at some level know that that's what it is. You're welcome. Now, yes.
On this dream work, if we have problems recalling all the dream upon awakening, is there anything we can do to improve that memory?
Depends on what you're doing. If you are dreaming, yes, you can do dream work. But what we're talking about is not dream work.
Well,
you are not dreaming. You are working. And these will be blotted from your mind. Sometimes you will be allowed to remember, and that will be for a very specific reason and a good lesson, and those are exceptions. What you are talking about is dream work where you are sorting data. And yes, you can train yourself to remember, and then you can work with those dreams because they do mean something, but they only mean something to you. Don't consider that some guru is going to come and sort your dreams. That is not true. And if you once did have more time to play, that is a fun game to play, is let's see what my dream meant.
No, that's not what I was getting at. How do we tell the difference between the dream work and what you said, the other type, which is not dream work?
Well, I can't answer it.
Okay.
It's as individual as anything else
and,
that you do.
And also there's another phenomenon going on that is not quite a dream, but is similar to a dream where you're not asleep, but there's an expanded consciousness. Can you explain that to me?
Well, that's touching a little more onto reality. It's sort of the change between the two dimensions. And very frequently in that, you will have vision perceptions.
Yeah.
And yet sometimes they're harder to figure out than the simple dreams. There are no shortcuts. There are some physical ways of handling it and gaining great, great insight. But you're talking about three levels of consciousness. Yes.
I'd like to know, quite a few years ago, we were just talking about ascending. Okay, I used to wake up in the middle of the night, my breath gone completely, and it used to scare me, and I used to run. Is that because I was just learning at that time to ascend at night?
Well, yes.
My breath
there are two things that happen.
Gone.
What you don't perceive is that you get it on both sides. When you come back and when you depart. And it isn't even necessarily ascending, although I think that that's what your gurus would tell you. When one say, well, we're going to practice ascending, I think that's what they mean. But you are actually dispersing, and I guess that is really the true definition of ascension. But you don't necessarily ascend anywhere. You can descend too. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about the physical expression of disbursement of molecules and reassembly. And in the middle of that, you're going to end up as photons. And this is why you will have apparitions or the feeling that you are visualizing a lighted vapor. This is what happens when people are seeing ghosts. You're seeing nothing but reflected photons in various and sundry stages of manifestation or density.
Okay, I'd like to have another question, personal again. Okay, several weeks ago, I had a dream about my husband. He made it walking through a wall. Two nights later, I told him, I did it too. Was that part of it? That my...
Well, once again, I can't... This is a very personal thing. And obviously in your consciousness, you know that didn't happen. Not in your consciousness. David Copperfield can walk through a wall. You could not get up right now and walk over there and go through that wall. Do you know the difference in what I'm saying? So already you were in a different consciousness. So whatever happened in a dimension other than your consciousness. And once you have separated from the consciousness, you're already in that dimension, and of course you can do it. This is the only thing that makes a magician a true magician. He's not fooling you anymore. He can literally do it. And most of David Copperfield's games and tricks are tricks and games. On the other hand, he has learned from the master teachers and knows what he can do and how to do it so that he can cause a separation of whatever cellular structure is there so that whatever he wants to push through himself can be done. As if he were not there. Or he can disperse among the separated molecules because all things are made up of the same things in different density. and different catalytic manifestation. So if you, what you were saying is you became aware and you were focused enough to retain that memory of doing it. You do it all the time. All you have done, all you have just said to me, is that you somehow remembered fragments of it. Because your mind does it all the time. You spend more time in astral travel and astral experience than you do in consciousness. A little child, and a baby spend almost all their time. They live in this other world. And they don't concern too much about what the body does or doesn't do. A baby will just depend on you to take care of it. Because it's annoyed, really, to be, you know, to have to put up with it. You learn as you grow older in your consciousness to tolerate it. And then even to like it and then not to want to leave it. But you spend most of your time out of it. So that you don't have to face it. This is a form of escapism. Just as sleep can get to be nothing but a form of escapism. So ones who have to meditate 8 hours a day do not impress me. That is solely, totally, 100% cop-out. You can acquire as much in 2 minutes of true meditation as you can sitting there on your assets for 8 hours saying little mantras, ohms, and so forth. You're not trying, really, you know, well, you've got to get this mantra and empty your brain. You're not ever going to empty your brain, and the more you think about emptying it, the fuller it's going to get of that one thought. So very frequently, I hear your idea about go try to meditate and you're going to go to sleep. Not necessarily. It depends on how hard you try to meditate. There is that release that allows the freedom. And it's really a gift when you've learned to be able to do that. With Dorma, you know, ones think, well, that's what happens with her. It's, no, that's not true. That's not exactly what happens. We can pull that off too. But basically what I do is tune in the radio channel and we each have a speaker and a receiver. But you're learning. And treasure these memories because, and this is something that very frequently you'll find in the morning you do remember as you first wake up and you think, oh, I won't forget this. And 3 minutes later it's gone. Well, this is something else that you allow yourself, and that is when things are really hard, really tight, or you're really excited and something has happened and you want to hold on to it for a while, that's allowed. Just let you hold on to it for a little while. And then in the knowing that you knew, you're able to release it and wait. You know, go ahead and experience whatever needs to be done. That's something that's very frequently given to ones like Dorma. I would expect that Desiree gets that quite a lot, where you realize that you have confronted it and you're allowed to remember that you knew for a little while, and then always the voice that says soon, you know, we're doing fine, and soon it will be okay to know it again.
Commander?
Yes.
I know you've been bombarded with this question, but I feel I have to ask it. I've spread the Phoenix Liberator to about 500 people regarding the initial information that I got on the photon belt. And as we get closer to it, is there any indication as to whether the Earth or the Sun will reach it first? And B, a follow-up question about the electric shock that people will receive, referring to the separation, without the separation from death. Could you perhaps shed some light on that as we get closer and closer to the outer edge? Or is any of that ascertainable? And again, I apologize. I know you get probably a little tired of this.
I don't know. I'm not tired of it. And it's just that it is such a subject that it is so dangerous. It's so dangerous for you once to sit in this room and talk about it. It is the most massive cover-up ever perpetrated so far on your place, because these are the cycles that come along periodically, and this one they know will bring more impact than usual. But the photon belt itself is not the problem. It's what comes later afterwards with the cataclysmic events. And my thrust has been to taper off on this photon belt. I'm not going to tell you whether I perceive which is going to happen, light or dark. I want you prepared. And it won't matter a whit if you're halfway prepared. They will be able to pull off some things that will allow it to be different than even projected. You see, you're going to learn a little bit about time and space and fourth dimension. You're going to move into a lighter frequency, and that very knowledge can make a tremendous difference. Ones ask, well, what about spacecraft? Won't you be without electricity? Yeah, but it's no problem, because I can be on the other side of that photon null time with a thought. You now have spacecraft that can literally move away from that photon belt, wait until Earth basically has revolved into it, and then you can shoot through that photon null time in 30 seconds. You're coming up to dealing with time and how long it takes to get from one place to another. And when that can be done through thought projection, and you're going to be astounded, an awful lot of you are going to be able to do that. And you're not going to be able to perceive that there was a difference. And now we're going to get on the other side, and here I've already talked about something I didn't want to talk about. You're going to get on the other side saying nothing happened. The lights went out in Philadelphia, but shoot, didn't happen to me. Well, it depends on how willing you are to pick up your responsibility and the power that you do have. I think most of you want to experience that. I think most of you want the primitive feeling of being able to remember how it was by candlelight. The mind will go to great lengths to get a little peace, a little rest. Then there will be the other side that will push the river, hoping to make a transition, frankly, rather than stay around and face the responsibilities. So I'm going to fly that day and defy God. Well, I personally wouldn't do it. Not for that reason. Because it's not going to have anything to do with God. Although, depends on your relationship with God and why you're doing it. If there is something that is really necessary to be done and you really need for God to fly, then I'm pretty sure he'll get you there just fine. But the point is that you have brains, and as you get closer, you're going to be able to pick up the clues from what the scientists are telling you. You're moving into a time of a lot of actions, a lot of interactions. You've got a president that is in total trouble, and he still acts like he has no trouble. That's because he doesn't have any trouble. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I can only really suggest that probably the less I say about it, the less misery you're going to have. Because the minute that the higher energies start making these statements to you, then they really go into great efforts to make sure that it's not that way. And that, in this instance, can only work against you. I have to back up and just say, there's one last word about that. Make sure you know why you need to know.
Hatun, greetings to you. This is Gabriele.
Yes.
I would like to know how vital it is for the translation of the truth of all the books and the latest event for the German, Austrian, and Switzerland people. It is very vital. I know what is involved.
Well, it's vital as soon as it can be done.
Well, I will do my best.
It's certainly appreciated.
One more question. At the last meeting I was attending, did you hit me with a flash while you were here? Because I could not find anybody here with a photo camera, with a flashlight.
Well,
what was this immense light?
I'm not going to tell you my secrets.
Well, but I think I got the message. Thank you. I will do my best despite the political situation in Germany and try to contact as many as I can from better sources. Thank you.
You mean the one I just said I wasn't going to answer anymore?
Commander, I have a question to ask. It is about a white light that I've seen when I was in the comfort room. And even though I do not move, it keeps on going around. And I was thinking to myself, what is this kind of light? It's just a circle, white. And then another time when I was walking, going home, as I looked down to the pavement, I saw a colored light, a blend of light in a circle with different colors of the rainbow. And then I remembered, I talked to it and I said, if you are of the dark, go away. And if you are of the light, manifest to me in a circle. And then when I looked again, it was gone.
Well, but
can you explain about this?
It doesn't necessarily mean that it was a negative light form. It doesn't mean that it was a light form of any kind or a form of any kind. You ones are coming into a higher experience. This is going to be true of the even the masses. As you move, you are already going into this period of light. Do you see? Oh, how in the world can I explain it? There's no way to explain a concept that you can only remember. You are manifested into a vision. You are a thought projection into an experience. You are moving now toward reality. What is happening to you ones? Please quit saying, I vision this. I vision this light. I vision this hole. I vision these colors. You are seeing reality through the illusion. You talk about ozone holes. That's the best thing that you can get. This allows higher energies to pass through when you clear out this crap that you ones have created and put out there. And as you begin to experience, you're going to experience, first of all, short periods of vision. And it will be mostly uninhabited, these flashes like you're talking about. They are your perception growing high enough to see through this vision you're stumbling around in. That's where we're trying to get us all to. And you know it's there. And when you have the blessedness of the physical, just, I saw light. And the consciousness knows you actually saw light. That means that the consciousness is beginning to respond a little bit to the knowledge that you hold, and that is that you are stumbling in disillusion. And when we get to the point where we can live in that environment more than you live in the entrapment of this one, the power itself, you will create the difference. And then you don't have to worry about null time or light time or radiation. And when you're talking about the shock of the body, it won't be. You will just move right into it. But because of the perceptions of the consciousness, you have to be trained.
Commander?
Yes.
You've been speaking about the Nephilim from the planet Nibiru who came to Earth for gold to help save their dying planet by suspending the gold particles in their atmosphere. I wanted to know if there's something we can learn from that with what we're going through, with what you're mentioning about our ozone layers and our atmosphere. Do you have any more information about suspending gold in the atmosphere?
Well, number one, that can be created later. You see, that we're talking about another planet now that was in trouble. And you are in trouble. But the higher beings can already alchemize what you need. As a matter of fact, for a long time, we were allowed to shore up what you are now calling those ozone holes. We were able to neutralize those you don't neutralize a photon, it's already neutral, but we could affect that. And then it got nearer, and the impact was more detrimental emotionally to you ones, because you've got all the kooks going out there sitting around giving you all these great messages from Commander Ashtar, who says, you know, on the day that the hole opens up, we'll all evacuate you. Everything gets put out of perspective and into unreality.